Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We also meet on the second and fourth Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
I pray today, God, that this we'll never forget what you're going to do, but we'll not camp at this place, but we'll move forward in the things you have for us, because you're an awesome, powerful, magnificent God, and you love us so much. Lord, we're ready to be taught, but not only to be taught, Lord, we're ready to move forward in the things you have for us. Move us forward for your glory and for your honor, for we pray all these things in the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all God's people said.
Amen.
You may be seated. Consecration is an interesting word. Because if you don't know what it is, hopefully I can define it for you by the time this service is over. I'm just going to take a few thoughts from what I wrote down, but today I just really wanted to talk to you from what I really believe that God is going to share with all of us, what it means to come to a place of receiving a promise. I'll ask you this question, and I think I kind of know the answer already. But how many of you have ever suffered from the idea of had a broken promise in your life? Somebody broke a promise to you. Come on, raise it up high. It's okay. I'm not going to, email them and let them know what you did. Then we can start off on some equal footing. The act of consecration unto the Lord is boldly illustrated by Hannah. And the Lord just kind of took me last week and says, I want you to tell the story of Hannah. I said, well, Lord, what does that have to do with being filled with the Spirit? He says, everything. Because here's the story of a woman, if you go back a little further in the text, it talks about this woman who lived under the blessings of God, but she was totally unfulfilled at the same time. She knew she was in the household of a man named Elkanah, who was her husband, who loved her. And back in those days, it wasn't uncommon for a man to have two wives. God bless him with two. Hallelujah. I love mine, and that's plenty for me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. I'm not looking for nobody else. Thank you. But he had two wives. And of these two wives, one of his wives was kind of like an out front woman. As a matter of fact, she was blessed because she had children and Hannah didn't have any. And that'll kind of bring the story into context of what this is really all about. Let me further on tell you this. As we learn to walk in the Spirit by the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll find ourselves constantly yielding to things that we desire most. The most to the control and the execution of his will and purpose. One thing Hannah desired more than anything else is she wanted to have a baby. And she didn't have one. And that consumed her life. I want to take this to a place in your heart today of things you've always wanted. And maybe you've achieved the fact you've graduated from college. Maybe you have got a home. Maybe you've got a car, this type of thing. But there's still that one thing that remains in your life that is unfulfilled. And it's just not working out. You've never told anyone this. And I'm kind of going behind the scenes in your heart. But there's that one thing yet to be fulfilled. And it doesn't go away. I want to tell you what the Holy Spirit does. He won't let you rest until you come to the place of being honest and bring it to his attention. Well, acts of consecration can be grossly misunderstood by those who have not entered into a relationship with Jesus that has forsaken control in order that his will be done at all times. Consecration means I'm yielding to God, and whatever he does, it's okay. That's a tough thing to do. Because as much as Hannah wanted to do it, her flesh couldn't do it. Couldn't be done. Matter of fact, as we enter into what the Bible is saying here, she's overcome with grief, she's overcome with anguish, she's overcome with going on in her life, and her husband just says to her in the first verse that we read, it's kind of interesting, he says, and Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart so grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? I mean, you got it good here, girl. You don't worry about anything. I'm taking care of you. I've even given you favor over your rival. Doesn't matter. here's some things I want to leave with you, or actually they're statements, they're not even questions. Let me tell you what consecration is. Well, number one, consecration will lead you to a place that will tap into your emotions and lifestyle choices. That's what this consecration is all about. I know I like to do certain things, certain ways, certain time, this type of thing. And God says, during this period of time, the consecration, you don't get to do that. Your time is my time. The routine that you like, it's going to change. I want you to give it all to me, not just the portion that you've allotted to me. I want to call the shots on everything. Just like this morning, God says, you know, you guys can worship for a while, but you know what? I'm really not interested in your program. I want to do it the way that brings glory to me. Let me tell you a second thing about consecration that he told me to write down. Consecration may cause you to reveal the desperation of your soul. There was a song they wrote many, many years ago. It's called "I'm Desperate for You." I hated that song. I'm serious. I hated this song. I don't like the melody line. "I'm desperate for you." No, I'm not desperate. I'm fine. I am perfectly fine. Things should be tweaked a little bit, but really desperate, I am not desperate. Because desperate, we put in a particular category with destitute. And really, basically, we're okay. At least we're better than other folks. But I want to take you to a place in your heart, in my heart, where we really realize how bankrupt we are and how much we need to give it all to Jesus. Let me bring you to the third point I'll make. Consecration can release irreversible vows that will direct the course of your life forever. That's what we're going to discover this morning, and this is really a scary place to be. Because as the story unfolds about Hannah, she finally gets an audience in a particular place where it's no longer just dependent on the fact that she's been looking pitiful for a long time. And people have noticed it. Now, can I tell you something? You've been looking pitiful for a long time. You say, what? My makeup is perfect. You know, my clothes, I'm decked out here. I've got this smile on. I got, that plastic Teflon smile. Doesn't burn, pick, or steal, or peel, or stick, you know, whatever. God says, I'm going to get behind the scenes. We're going to talk about this. Well, consecration will bring release from things that have taunted you. And I believe every person, myself included, have been taunted by something that God wants to resolve when we just consecrate before God, saying, you know what? I am tired of this being in my way between you and me. God, we got to deal with this. And here we go. So in order to receive from the Lord, well, actually, verses 1 and 2 and 7 and 8 are the text. It says, Samuel 1, verses 1 and 2 says, now there was a certain man named Ramoth of Zophim in the mountains of Ephraim. His name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu. Aren't you glad you didn't have to read that? Son of Zoph, Ephraimite. Oh my goodness, Lord have mercy. Anyway. And he had two wives. The name was Hannah, and the name of the other was Penina. Nothing could be, never mind. Had children, but Hannah had no children. Verses 7 and 8, please. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. Every time they go to the house of the Lord, here comes Penina. Got any children yet? Here's my third. Now, if you were honest and would admit it, there are people in your life right now that irritate you. They get in your grill every time you see, she gets on my very last nerve. Or he gets on one. And we don't say it. We're Christians. We don't do stuff like that. We just kind of get tense and kind of like, hi. Nice to see you. Well, she had to come. Oh, you're going to get saved today. Watch this. Okay. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" And he says, no matter what she did, she just couldn't shake it off. In order to receive the things from the Lord that we really desire, we need to refocus our life. I need to refocus mine. And one of the first ways that happens is we must allow ourselves to become vulnerable and to realize how much we need the input from other people. The Lord tested me on this morning. You know, we have pre-service prayer. Of course, pre-service prayer, where you get everything all ready. Oh, Lord, power comes down, you speak in tongues, this type of thing. And God says to me, he says, go find your son and have him pray for you. I have never asked my son to just physically pray for me at any time. I said, go find him, have him pray for you. You need to do that. My flesh had a fit. Because here's how I couched it. I don't want to make my son feel uncomfortable. Does that sound noble? That even sounds spiritual. But it's wrong. It's disobedient to what God has told you to do. And if you're going to consecrate yourself before God, God is going to make you uncomfortable. He's going to ask you to do things that aren't in your normal wheelhouse of experience. And he's going to bring you to a place where you say, and you're kind of, well, what if they say no? What if they do? Then what? I want to take you past the what if they say no and take you back when God said yes, do it. There are things that God will ask you to do that will seemingly feel painful at the point and almost to the point that you're willing to be disobedient to God just so you can retain whatever it is you're trying to retain. I want to tell you, it doesn't look good on you, okay? Ever spent money on a dress and it was absolutely hideous but you refused to admit it? What do you think? And your friends who are really your friends, oh, that's really different. Probably not a color I would have chosen. Those are nice for saying it looks terrible. I'm going to move on to this next little place. Learning to delight in ourselves in the Lord is something that we will discover by allowing the Holy Spirit the right of way of our emotions. Psalm 37:4. This is something we do. Psalm 37:4. I'm kind of in the order there. You got it for me, bud? Psalm 37:4. It's right on after section B. Maybe not. We're coming. Da-dee-da. Well, I know how to find that. Well, let me see here. Oh, it is? Is there? Well, there we go. See, that's what you have to do. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I know you've probably heard that many times over, but the point is, how do you delight yourselves in the Lord? What does that mean? I want to give you a practical definition. Delight yourselves in the Lord means that he takes priority over everything that's going on in your life at this point. You delight yourselves in the Lord. It doesn't matter whatever else is going on. He will be your first priority no matter what. Now, that's easy to say, and it's very difficult to do. Can I give you a little hard news right now? I'd like to get statistics about things that hopefully will help us. Because of social media and because of technology and cell phones, this type of thing, we have learned this new thing called multitasking. Most of you can do two or three things at the same time. Of course, you can also crash your automobile trying to text, too. That's another story. But because of that, it appears now that our attention span, which used to be a whopping 11 seconds before we would get distracted, is now down to 8. That's our attention span. Without staying focused, we can stay on something for 8, then we'll shift gears to someplace else. I don't know where you are now, but come back, okay? But the point is, when we delight ourselves in the Lord, It takes focus, but at the same time, it takes determination that regardless of what's happening, what else is in our way, we've got to learn how to delight in Him. The enemy will try to provoke us by reminding us of the things that we do not have that we really want. So you cannot delight in the Lord until you will be happy when you get this. And right now, some of you cannot delight in the Lord because there's certain things that you don't have that you want. And as soon as God gives it to you, that's when you're going to delight in Him. Some of you believe that. I want to tell you, it's a lie. There'll always be something else. Some of you married your dream person. That has become a nightmare. Hey! You don't have to say it, I said it, okay? Point being this, that if we choose not to eat, it should be an offering of praise unto God, declaring His goodness, and not out of despair. Hannah had got herself to the place she couldn't enjoy dinner. This next week we'll get a chance, if you desire to fast. And I want to tell you what fasting is all about. Fasting is not to see, not to drive by Starbucks and wish you were there. God, I'm giving up that triple latte with a little extra caramel, whatever. Caramel shot and this type of thing. Really? You're already fantasizing in your mind. You ain't giving up nothing. See, you ought to bless me for that. Really? Right. I believe this. That Hannah stopped eating to do two things. One, to allow her body to tell her how miserable she was. What's the purpose of eating? I might as well starve myself to death. The other part of her, and I'm not sure this is true, but I'll just put this out there, that she was on strike. And depriving herself. Saying, I'm not going to have anything good to eat until I have a baby. Let's process that for a minute and let me move on. Well, we must allow the truth of God's goodness to permeate our heart that has been pierced by disappointment and disillusionment. I will not poll the whole audience today, but I do believe that there are people, Christian folks that are sitting in this room right now that are disillusioned and disappointed with God. You say, how would you say that? Because it's true. Consecration is one of those things where you have to look those things, stare it in the face and say, you know what? I am totally disappointed with what my life looks like right now. And God will not strike you dead. You know what God wants you to do? Be honest. Be honest. And then you're going to see how this unfolds in such an amazing way that her honesty doesn't bring her the fact that she's separated from God. But consecration will bring us to the reality of confrontation of those things that have caused us to doubt God's goodness. What it really is about is that the only paradigm that she could have in her mind that made sense, God will be good to me the day that I learn that I'm pregnant. No. The day that I learn that I'm pregnant and I have a male child. Getting pregnant wasn't a whole deal, but having a male child after being pregnant was a whole deal. You see, sometimes you get some of the things you want, but it's not quite good enough because you didn't want a black Mercedes, you wanted a white one. So you can't enjoy it. But it's a Mercedes, it doesn't matter. I wanted a white one, he gave me a black one. I'll never, never like it. Really? Now that sounds petty, but that's kind of how we think. Now homeboy over there says, any Mercedes, I'm riding, dude. It don't matter to me. We need you in the house, we need you. Consecration will cause us to find relief from the grief of our sins that have been in our life. And consecration will cause us to partake of things that we have denied ourselves because of our lack of fulfillment of things that we desire the most. Let's look at this consecration piece. It's not a bribery tactic. It isn't. It's a refocusing opportunity. Let me show you this. Consecration will help us find release from bitterness of the soul that is lodged in discontent. You say, well, I'm not bitter. You per se are not. But bitterness of the soul and bitter are not necessarily the same thing. Let me just define that for you. We must invite the Holy Spirit to the lodging place of our emotion that has kept us from complete surrender to His will. Now, that's a whole different story. God will help you discover that place in you that has kept you from being totally surrendered to Him. And I want to say this for a fact, that some of you are excellent mothers and excellent dads and excellent workers as far as that's concerned. So that's kind of been your idea of saying, well, I'm a good guy or I'm a good gal. That isn't it. I wish it were, because it'd be sure a lot easier to prove that. But I want to get behind the scene to the place where we must find the place of sincerity when we are willing to let go of things that have held us hostage for a long time. Now, let me rest on that place for a moment. I believe all of us struggle. I do. I'm part of us. But here's the deal. We must find the place of sincerity where we are willing to, here's the part, let go of the things that have caused a struggle. And you know there's an insecurity in that, because if I let go of that, here's what we convince ourselves, I'll stop being me. And will we be glad? We must find us, be specific in our request and confess what's truly on our heart. Well, this is the part that we kind of make a turn here, and I believe it will bring us to the place where God wants to take us today. Vows and covenants are validated by the grace of God through the Holy Spirit. And the way that I'm able to bring this Old Testament story into New Covenant or New Testament reality is that some of us feel, oh, I don't want to make vows and covenants. That's Old Testament. That's old school. Watch it. Watch out. Grace will cover us all. But here's the point that we're going to make at this particular place. God knows all things, but still allows us to declare our desire to be pleasing Him. God knows whether you're going to do it or not. Lord, I just vow I'm going to be, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And so He just kind of accepts it. Okay. Knowing all the time, you're not going to do it. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to read, you know, in our little consecration thing, read 3 chapters a day for the next 10 days. And say, oh, I can do that. Day 3. What chapter am I supposed to be on? Lord, I don't have time to read this. God, you know my heart. And you go like this. Hide your word in my heart, Jesus. We're a mess. I knew you laughed. You probably tried it. I don't know. We must not allow fear of not being able to keep a vow to prevent us from making one. 2 Timothy 1:12. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day. You know what that means? You say, well, what does that mean? Is that salvation? No, it doesn't. I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed. Not I am able. He is able. If I yield to Him, He can do it. It's all about yielding to God. That's the problem. We yield to our intellect. We yield to our ability. We yield to, I say, well, you know, I'm really a tough person. I'm able to keep my word. You know something? God isn't interested in all the things you do. He's interested in you just yielding to him, saying, Jesus, I need you more today than I ever have in my entire life. And I'll need you more tomorrow. And I'll need you more the day after that. I will never be in a place where I don't need you. Otherwise, it's religion. And how far has religion got you? Nowhere. Oh, can I give you the latest statistics on religion? You say, what do you do? Listen to all this stuff all week long? Well, I try to stay in touch. Christianity's gone down by 6 points nationally. Atheism has risen a few points. You know, I said, well, that's kind of weird. Agnosticism has risen a few points. But the largest group of people that have risen as far as statistically are a group called the nuns. N-O-N-E. They don't believe in anything. But you know what? I'm excited. I'm looking for the nuns. You don't have to erase all that junk you got in your mind, honey. I'll come right up there. I'm going to tell you the truth. Be a nun. Go ahead, be a nun. But look out, because I'm coming after you. With Jesus Christ, the only word, living word of God, who suffered, bled, and died, rose again, and sits at the right hand of the Father, making an atonement for you, and offers you salvation for all those who believe in his name, who will repent of their sins, and accept the finished works of Jesus Christ. That's who I can offer you. You know, some people say, it's hard to witness. No, it's hard not to. If there are none, it's an empty screen, okay? You don't have to get all the junk out of the way. So, and by the way, forget about that. Not the whole thing. No, hey, you see, this is what it's all about. But you know, you've got to be convinced yourself. For I'm persuaded. I know in whom I believe. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Well, once we made a resolve and consecration, the Lord, we can anticipate that there will be a release. But before that happens, a couple of things I'll touch on and I'll be done today. I want you to be ready for some misunderstanding. I'm going to Article 2. Consecration can bring misunderstanding or lead to being misunderstood. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 and verses 12 and 13. On the day of Pentecost, they were all together with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now go down to verse 13. And others mocking, saying, they are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, said, and raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. We'll get to that whole thing next week. But when Pentecost happened originally, they're all together in one place. They're saying it came a sound from heaven to fill the whole place they were sitting, and people were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with tongues and this type of thing. But it led to this controversy of others were mocking and saying they're full of new wine. Sound familiar? Here's Hannah several thousand years before that. They said, honey, you've been drinking a little bit, haven't you? Hitting the bottle a little bit, sweetie? It's okay, but you're a little tipsy. Why don't you sit over here and rest, honey? Get your mind back. Because what happened to her, when we choose to consecrate ourselves before the Lord, we open ourselves to the supernatural, and the supernatural isn't always upheld by those people who can dissect those things. They'll come up with the wrong answer. Moving on to the next point. Hannah had an experience that's somewhat the opposite of what was happening, the experience on the day of Pentecost. Here's what happened with her. Her lips were moving, but they couldn't hear anything. Now, these other people, their lips are moving, and they're hearing, blah, 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 you know. But Hannah has this experience. Her lips are moving, but nothing's going on. They go, oh, the girls. Schnockered. You know, one of the greatest fear I think that some people have, maybe not you, is that they'll yield to God and they're going to become strange or misunderstood. My question for you is, how badly do you want it? I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about wanting God's fullness in your life, not an it. Maybe I should replace that with him, the fullness of all he is. Well, part C says, consecration is pouring out our soul before the Lord. And if there's one thing we can even begin today, it's going to be pouring out our soul before the Lord. We must reach a place where we're no longer concerned about, well, how we look toward other people. We must be willing to look foolish and even childlike. Well, I don't want to do that. Now, can I take you to the day of Pentecost? Because I'm making it get a chance to tell you next week. Here are these people, 120 folks, in a room praising God, and they're praying. And all of a sudden, a rushing mighty wind comes in, fills the whole house where they're sitting, and all of a sudden, just an explosion happens, and everybody starts talking. But nobody knows what anybody else is saying. You're thinking, what? And how they got from the upper room out in the streets here, they're thinking, I got to get out of here. So they got on the streets, and it just starts this whole thing going on. I want to tell you, it's not going to look like what you think it's going to look like. Does that bother you? Well, yeah. This kind of gives me kind of a little foretaste of what it's going to look like, and then maybe he'll sign me up. That's your problem. That's all of our problem. If you can give me a guarantee that I won't look foolish, sign me up. No. You're going to look the way Jesus wants you to look. Well, I'm going to go to this next little piece here. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 16 says this. We must allow consecration to the Lord to remove all complaints of injustice. 1:16 says, do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. In other words, this is the epiphany that she has. She says, up until this particular point, I have been the one who's kind of complained. I've been morose in my thinking. I've been the one who's just kind of crying all the time. I'm the one that wouldn't eat. I'm the one that ruined every party I went to. I've been kind of a killjoy. But I want to let you know, something in me is changing today. And if you want God's Spirit, if you want to be consecrated before the Lord, you have to make up your mind. You know, it's going to change, not tomorrow, today. Reminds me of what happened with the parable or the plague of the frogs, children of Israel. You have these frogs, there were frogs in the lake, frogs in the oven, frogs in the meal bowl, whatever. Frogs in their beds, frogs all over their house. Can you imagine frogs? Frogs are ugly and they smell and they die and weird things happen. Okay. And so Moses goes to Pharaoh, well, when would you like us to remove the plague of the frogs? Anytime you want. God says he'll get them out of here. You know what that clown said? Tomorrow. He wanted to spend one more night with the frogs. That's your problem. One more night with the frogs and I'll be okay tomorrow. You know something? You stink, okay? You are so out of it. You are so not with it. You want to spend another day with your miserable, pitiful self. Oh, I'm sorry, but I'm not. When you have deliverance. I'm almost done. Somebody said, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. But I'm not going with my script, so you're still in trouble. Okay. We must be willing to catch hold of faith to receive the thing that we asked for. Well, that means we must change the way we talk by declaring that we have found favor in the sight of the Lord. Was that verse 18 that we had there? Oh, yeah. Yeah, here we go. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So that the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. I want you to say this out loud. I'll say it out loud. I need to change. See, I kind of tricked you, but it's okay. I'll say it. I need to change. The way I look, the way I talk, the way I think, and the only thing that can happen is through that I'll consecrate to the Lord. I just got a few minutes left, and so here's what it's going to look like. Consecration will bring fulfillment to God's promise. Well, verse 26, starting with verse 20 of chapter 1, it says, so it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived, because after Eli had prophesied, she didn't have a child. Hannah conceived, and she bore a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. I'm going to skip down to verse 26. And she said, as the Lord lives, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition when I asked him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. For they worship, so they worship the Lord there. There's a word I want you to pay attention to. It's the word lent. That makes about as much sense as you lending someone your car forever. Give them a title. Then why is he using the word lent? Why does he say, just give them to the Lord forever? Because there's an attachment there that I recognize every day of my life when I'm not with my son. I willfully gave him over to the Lord. I'm still connected to him, but I have lent him to the Lord forever. I'm not severing my relationship with him. He still belongs to me, but really he belongs to God. Here's our problem. As we think that when we give something to God, that we no longer have any ability to do anything with it. Let me prove to you that's not true. Many of us have made covenants to the Lord. I have made promises to God. I'll never do this, or I will do this, or blah, blah, blah. Really what we did is we lent ourselves to God, and then we kind of took it back. The things we weren't going to do, or things we weren't going to say, or places we weren't going to go. You say, why is it that way? Let me give you a little insight, I believe, that will help all of us in this whole idea of consecrating. Is that God does not want to disconnect you from you. He wants you to be holy who you are, holy who he's made you to be, but with a constant attitude of surrender. I choose today to serve God. I choose tomorrow to serve God. And if I live another day, I choose the next day to serve God. It's an everyday choice. You never say, well, it's once and for all, and God kill me if I never do it. That's not how grace works. And that's not how God works. And I believe one of the hardest things for us to learn as people, it's when we come to that place in our lives, in our hearts, where we consecrate something to God, and when we say, Lord, I am yours forever, that means we get to make that decision every single day. There's not a day you don't get to make that decision. I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him until that day, against that day. At the time when you just don't feel like it, at the time you say, I don't really care. I'm going back to who I was before. I don't really care. I'm going to cuss her out. I'm going to cuss her out. Oh, no, I'm serious. You tell me, you said Christian. Oh, yeah, Christians get crazy. Or I'm never going to talk to her again, or I'm never going to talk to him again, this type of thing. But I thought you knew Jesus. Well, I know him, but honey, right now, every head bowed, every eye closed, everybody.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.